Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It's myself, Niall, and Andrea Cleary here. How are you, Andrea?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
I'm good. It is our best of the month on this episode, episode 225. It's August, end of August. We're going to be talking about the music that we loved in the month of August and kind of share our favourites from the last of the summer. Listening, really, I guess. Although
yes.
Some people say summer ends on the 23rd of September. I like to think that is not really accurate, but also you can do that if you like. It's fine. It's
summer
fine.
Is a state of mind. Autumn is a state vibe of mind.
But if you prefer autumn, I like autumn too, but I'm also happy for either. If the weather's good in September, mm-hmm. you can say it's summer. It's fine.
Not really, I agree.
Not really.
I agree.
But yeah. We're going to be talking a bit about some albums that we love and some songs that we love. Thank you all for listening to the Aphex Twin episode. Some really good feedback on that. So I really appreciate that. It was a very popular episode. Just looking at the life and work of Richard D. James, aka Aphex Twin. So thanks for that. But in the meantime, our best of the month always comes at the end of the month. And in case anyone is wondering, maybe we'll talk about the Roisin Murphy stuff later on. But let's talk about some music first. So, Andrea, let's start with your choice.
Okie dokie. Let's start with one of my weird little guys. He's back. Sufjan Stevens, So You Are Tired. It sounds like this.
I did what I was told, but I was a man born invisible. Was it something I said or some kind of joke? So you are tired as the sun. Are you with or without a friend? Bring me back everything caught in your shield. Let everything else descend.
So it's the first time we've heard Sufjan in this sort of mode since 2015's Carrie and Lowell. This song is the first track from his upcoming album, Javelin, which I'm very, very excited for. So You're Tired is a a breakup song, I think, and is, you know, typically of him. Very, very beautiful. Uses beautiful vocal arrangements and guitar finger picking and just like the most gorgeous, insightful, beautiful lyrics you can imagine. And it just kind of reminded me of how much I've like missed him in this sort of mode, you know. And it's, yeah, perfect, perfect timing, Sofiane.
Absolutely.
For the end of summer.
October 6th is when the album comes out. There is a global listening party happening as well, which we've just, as was shared in our Discord there, if you want to join the music community there, it is patreon.com/909. More about that later. But also, yeah, September 19th, they're doing a listening party in Dublin. It's happening in Spin Dizzy Records in town. So you can go to that and swoon and be sad with all of the other Sofiane fans. But yeah, I really like the song. This is really lovely. Yeah. It's kind of classic Sofiane, really, isn't it? It's like that.
It is.
And the lovely choral stuff that happens there. Yeah, nice to hear kind of just... It's not often you're like, oh yeah, I just want to hear Sofiane do that or an artist do that. But like,
yeah,
he's so good at that.
He's so good at it. And he just never seems to run out of ideas. Even though like that song, it sounds like a lot of other Sofiane Stevens songs, but that never seems to be like a problem with him. He just, he finds new ways to kind of let you into the same world. And he's so good at like this sort of like scene building and atmosphere. And yeah, it's just, it's so, so beautiful. I can't wait for the album. I think it's probably the one I'm most looking forward to now, coming into this late stage of the year. Q4.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to recommend a very short album first, from a Limerick rapper called Citrus Fresh. Last Friday, who released a new album called Good Grief. If you're following Limerick rap, Citrus Fresh is one of those voices that you will hear. A very distinct rapper who has released an album called Operating System. Probably was at the end of 2021, I believe. Really interesting person who also, like, it's kind of, he can do straight up rap, but he also, the Operating System stuff was more of a kind of a live band thing. But this one is back, Good Grief is back to kind of really interesting, really good rap productions with 40 Hertz. Also production by Rory Sweeney and Godwin, God Knows Brother. And it features guests like Courtesy and Strange Boy, two people who are among the best Irish rappers, I think, at the moment. The album is on Bandcamp only for now. I'm going to play a bit of a song called Chinese Air Max. I'm the man on the fence, on the somewhere in between. Make amends with your friends that wish you're dead behind the screen. Give some head, get some head, give some pain where it's needed. Finger in the pie, my jaw's been on the ceiling. I watch the river flow as it flows, it gets boring. The train tracks on my arms tell the real story. My pain had its way with my wits, no one boring. The brain made its way through the mist, it's alluring.
Everybody's got a bone to pick with stones and sticks. We're rolling bricks, a lonesome prick. There's a troll under Torment Bridge, a lonesome kid. He's had enough shit for a lifetime. It won't be long before we're stoning wigs, dethroning kings. Your revolution's boring shit. Been ignoring all these texts for weeks and chin checking cheeks. It's not a question of weakness. Keep my name out your mouth like a silica gel. I'm trying to stay above ground while I'm digging a well. A website for my sin, or spill blood for my mates. Last cards and I win, I've been absolved of my hatred. I feel my empathy is disappearing. I self-remedy the negative.
So there's Citrus Fresh. Good Grief is the name of the album. It's only 18 minutes long, so you really can't go wrong. But yeah, as you can hear there, it's kind of a very dense world building kind of thing going on there. I really like that, the beats with 40 Hertz, and I think that's 40 Hertz production. That's Chinese Air Max, third song on an 8-track selection. So that's on Bandcamp. You can find that at citrusfresh.bandcamp.com. That came out last week. Citrus Fresh.
Excellent. Okay, my next choice is in the playlist, which I'm clicking into now. It's Olivia Rodrigo with, I think, one of my favorite pop songs, maybe my favorite pop song of the year, Bad Idea, Right. Hey. Done it again. Bad Idea, Right is the second single from her upcoming album Guts, which comes out next Friday, the 8th of September. First song being Vampire. And I think I chose the song because I think it's just such like a dream of a song when it comes to writing modern pop music, because it's full of hooks. It has a section that can soundtrack a TikTok trend, which it has done already. And it's also really, really good. And I think it's just like, it's like, it's fun, it's catchy. I love the instrumental in it. Like, I love the actual track itself. I love how much she loves a kind of a chunky bass line in her music. And I think it's very charming. I think it retains the kind of like pop punk style of like some of the best track from her previous record. And yeah, I just really like it. I just think she's really great. She can kind of do no wrong in my eyes. I love her.
Yeah, it's a great song. Definitely the best of the two so far, but also, well, it's the upbeat, boppy one, isn't it? And
yeah,
it's great. It's just a great, really well-written pop song. And yeah, don't disagree. When is the album out?
8th of September. So that's
oh,
like
great.
Friday,
next week.
It?
Yeah. Great, great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Lovely. Okay, I'm going to pick an album now from an artist which initially I was reticent to listen to because there was a bit of furore around the album and a guest verse, but it is No Name and the album is called Sundial. It's the first album in 5 years from the Chicago rapper. She's a shadow walker, moonstalker, black author, librarian, contrarian. That is one of the lyrics on this album. Initially, there was a lot of talk about Jay Electronica's guest verse on the song Balloons, which I think was somewhat overstated. Before we get to that, I just want to say that the No Name came out, what, like it was 5 years ago when that album dropped?
First album.
Yeah.
First album was 2016, I think.
2016, yeah, wow.
I loved that album.
Yeah.
I think I liked that
Room
album
25.
More than you did.
Yeah.
Not Room 25.
Telephone you're talking about. Yeah, that's the mixtape. And then Room 25, which is when I got into her. I think this is great. I think she's shown herself to become a better rhymer, a more precise rapper, lyricist, and more in depth in terms of like switching with her cadences and the flows, and she's all the better for it. But also, I think what's interesting about it is it's got, musically, it's a bit tougher. It's jazzy live band hip hop stuff. Reminds me a bit like Salt in his tone, but a bit more insistence and presence than before. Let's take a little bit of a song called Boom Boom first.
And a Bible too. Ticky ticky boom boom, all I ever knew. Now he wanna be one of me, honey, be inside my pot. Smoking my crock pot, ready to foxtrot, beatbox and kick rocks. Really, kick rocks. Really, I'm independent but steadily flip flops. I clop a good cop, murdered a BIPOC. I'm black, I've been black, fuck what you thought. Fuck what they taught and fuck what they teach. Baby, come eat a Georgia peach for free, for real. Cock a boom boom, clock a tick. Kiss me, boom boom, make a wish. Make a wish, make a wish, make a wish. Yeah, come make it tick, make it tick, make it tick, yeah. Clock a boom boom, clock a tick. Kiss me, boom boom, make a wish. Make a wish, make a wish, make a wish. lovey love, baby forever love. Baby found me in Africa, it's only the two of us. Oh, nah, nah, yeah, that's his name. He real pretty on a bicycle with a hair wrap, headed back to the crib, gonna give me hair back. Uchi Wali, when the sun come out, he made my pussy shine. He fun and fun around.
That is Boom Boom featuring Aoni on the hook there from No Name. Just an album track I really liked. Also, yeah, I think she's doing really interesting things here. There's a lot of producers involved. Slime Wave, Saba, Emil, RK, Ben Narty are all involved, but it has a very cohesive sound. It's that jazzy live hip-hop stuff. But I think, interestingly, like lyrically, she drops like lyrics like "We is Wakanda, we Queen, Rwanda, first black president, and he's the one who bombed us," talking about Obama. There's a lot of, I think it's like, she's kind of unfiltered in a way that isn't like problematic in lots of ways. That's why the only thing is that about the J Electronica verse that he has. I think the problem with the J Electronica verse is not actually about the lyrics, because if you look at the lyrics, what he says is basically the headline was that J Electronica was verse was problematic. Other than like J Electronica's verses are usually contain this like religious rhetoric from his beliefs, which is all throughout his music. So if you're okay with any of J Electronica's music, you kind of have to be okay with this, because all he says here, I think a lot of it was interpreted as if he was saying the war in Ukraine was a hoax, but that's not actually what he's saying. I don't believe anyway. He talks about in that song Balloons, he says, "And some fuckboy 85er comes running up and press me. It's all a hoax, quite simply a joke like Zelensky." Obviously, he's talking about somebody coming up and like giving him hassle, essentially, and then saying that, you know, this stuff didn't happen. But then he's saying it's a joke like Zelensky, as if, you know, I mean, Zelensky started as a comedian. I think that's what the reference is, as opposed to saying that the war is a joke or not real or something, or Ukraine isn't real, which is what I saw on the internet. And that's what she responded to. Now, she did refuse at the time to, you know, engage with it. She said, "That's what he wants to say. That's what he wants to say on my album." And then that's her choice, and that's fine. But like, I think there's lots of great stuff here, and it's a shame to let that overcloud the rest of it. There's Common is on it, Billy Woods, Voices of Creation. She is an artist who isn't afraid to throw bombs at other people and herself on that song. She's talking about, Namesake, I'll play that in a sec. And she throws bombs at Jay-Z, Rihanna, Kendrick, Beyonce for playing the Super Bowl, referencing NFL's ties to the US military. But she's also not afraid to throw grenades in the mirror at herself in terms of the... But she just talks about all of the aforementioned artists. She's like, "Go Rihanna, go, watch the jet fighter jet fly high. War Machine gets glamorized. We play the game to pass the time." You know, talking about being involved in this big pop culture moment, which also has a backdrop of the military complex as well, and you're benefiting from that. And then she herself famously declared she wouldn't want to perform in front of a majorly white audience. And then in the same song, said, "Go No Name Go, Coachella stage got sanitized. I said I wouldn't perform for them, and somehow I still fell in line." So here's a bit of that song, Namesake.
Me, the whole world is culpable. Why complacency float the boat the most? I don't really get it. Y'all ain't really with it. All that eat the rich, tax the rich. Y'all ain't really about that shit. Bitch, if you want some money, you can say that. You deserve a payback. These niggas took everything. Let's go get that and take it to the hood, though. Share it with community. We soldiers in plain clothes. Everybody got their role. Don't be a op. Everybody got their role. I'ma play mine like Scooby-Doo in a haunted house. I see the ghosts that they talking about. I see the signs. Reading between the line at the crime scene. I ain't fucking with the NFL or Jay-Z. Propaganda for the military complex. The same gun that shot Lil Terry out west. The same gun that shot Samir in the West Bank. We all think the Super Bowl is the best thing. Go Rihanna, go. Watch the fighter jet fly high. War Machine gets glamorized. We play the game, do pass the time. Go Beyonce, go. Watch the fighter jet fly high. War Machine gets glamorized. We play the game, do pass the time. Go Kendrick, go. Watch the fighter jet fly high. War Machine gets glamorized. We play the game. Coachella stage got sanitized. I said I wouldn't perform for them, and somehow I still fell in line. Fuck, I never need no name. I got a-
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting album. She's a really interesting artist. She's trying to, you know, put herself in the spotlight as well in terms of the decisions that she makes, whether it's just a song about beauty standards or whether it's about dealing with a white audience, being a black rapper, a verse on that as well. Analyze the Gumption, Monopolize the Landscape. She's just another artist selling trauma to her fan base. There's a lot of talk about that kind of thing, selling black art in as a cultural commodity and as a kind of a trauma as a commodity as well. So I think it's really interesting. I think she's a really interesting person and a really interesting rapper, and it's a shame in a way that it was kind of overshadowed at first, but yeah, I think there's really some really interesting stuff and really interesting album from No Name called Sundial. So what you got for me?
I've got a very, very pleasant song from an artist called Diners called Someday I'll Go Surfing.
Fall asleep, I always take a moment to dream. I've never caught a wave. I'd like to have my day. It could stay a fantasy, or I could finally put it all in play. Hey, hey. Kind affirmations and carrots still dangling. New inspirations are feeling it's time for me to believe. Someday I'll go surfing. Someday I'll go surfing. I'd have to find a board, and I'd have to find a shore. And I've met locals, man, who'd rather not have just stayed alone. Find affirmations and carrots still dangling.
Maybe I'm not quite ready to let summer go just yet. Maybe someday I'll go surfing.
Where are Diners from?
Diners, I don't know actually where they are from. I think they're American. I should have checked that. Sorry. It is the stage name of an artist called Blue Broderick. From where?
LA.
LA, there we go. Blue Broderick, who I believe uses they, them pronouns, released an album this month called Domino. And Someday I'll Go Surfing is my favorite track from that record. It's a really nice record. I've only listened through once, so I haven't included it here as an album. But if you like the sound of this, you will like the album. I think it's a really kind of bubbly, hopeful sort of track about like taking risks and going surfing. Very, very charming. I really like it.
I can relate. Okay.
Have you ever gone nice. Surfing?
No, just messing.
Someday?
No, I don't think I'll ever go surfing. It's not for me, don't think.
Me neither.
Yeah,
probably. I know not. I mean, surfing.
I'd love to be that person that says, yeah, I'll definitely go surfing, but I've yet to do it. No, I definitely won't. My next choice is a kind of reinterpretation of the band Turnstile by Bad Bad Not Good. They have had an EP out, a very short EP, 3 tracks, just kind of taking versions from Turnstile's album, which was called Glow On from 2021. And it just came out of nowhere and I thought it was really interesting and really cool and lovely. And I love the sound of Bad Bad Not Good and what they do. And I think they did a great version of this song, which is called Alien Love Call.
Oh,
That is Turnstile and Bad Bad Not Good, Alien Love Call, just a really short EP, and one of those tracks that I went back to a lot this month. So yeah, do check that out. As ever, all of our songs that we feature here on this podcast are available in a Spotify playlist called Songs from the 909 Podcast. Very easy to find.
Very appropriately
You can
called.
Find that very easily. So yeah, dig that out. But yeah, okay, what do you got next?
I've got a song from the 13th Wilco album, and it's called Evicted.
If there wasn't me in the mirror, am I ever gonna see you again? Or maybe I'm a whistle on a lonely old train, crying all the time. Listen to the sound getting further away, fading deep into the night. Am I ever gonna see you again? I'm evicted from your heart. I deserve it.
So we had kind of Sufjan by Numbers earlier. I think it's fair to say we have a kind of a Wilco by Numbers here, and also not at all a bad thing. So September 29th is the date for the 13th Wilco album called Cousin, produced by Kate LeBon, who I know you're a fan of, Niall. And I believe that's her playing the electric guitar on that tune as well. Yeah, really nice tune, really nice kind of way to get back into the sound of this band, and I'm very interested to hear what they sound like working with Kate LeBon, and also just what they sound like now in, I was about to say 2016, 2023. Jeff Tweedy said of this song, "I guess I was trying to write from the point of view of someone struggling to make an argument for themselves in the face of overwhelming evidence that they deserve to be locked out of someone's heart. Self-inflicted wounds still hurt, and in my experience, they're almost impossible to fully recover from." So also like the Sufjan song, maybe a breakup song too. So.
Right. They are playing here next Friday, 8th of September in the Three Olympias. All out. Of course.
You can listen to the Olivia Rodrigo album on your way to see the World
You could
show.
Do that. You could do that indeed. Yeah.
No one
Wilco's a band I've never really gone into too much. Maybe like 15
me.
Years
it
ago,
like
I listened to
fan.
Them, and then maybe it was a bit too. I wasn't really at their vibe then, and I'd probably been more into it now. Sure. But I just haven't really. To be honest, like it is hard to find a time to listen to albums at this point. Never mind like old albums. Someday it'll happen for me. Okay, very much.
Someday you'll go surfing.
Very different vibe now. Next, but it's an Irish artist. I think the rest of my songs. No, the next two songs are Irish artists. This is from a Derry producer called Carton, who I think I DJed at Other Voices last year, and it was the sweatiest room I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, that was my first time seeing him, and this song came out last week, and I love the artist Known. It has a bit of that kind of fizzy synth kind of work in it, and also it's a big fizzy tune for dance floors, and I have been playing this a lot in the car and very loud in the house. Here we go. It's called Smasha and it's from Carter. Yeah, a lot of my August had to do with being at festivals and DJing, so there was a lot of that kind of listening this month. So that was one of the songs I heard last week. We may talk a little bit about Another Love Story as well in a bit. I had a great time with that. So yeah, your turn. What's next?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
My next choice is the best album ever made from the best band who have ever existed. It's The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons by The Hives. Here's Trapdoor Solution.
No one could have seen this coming. If you've listened to our previous podcast, you may have heard Andrea expound upon her love for this band. And as it follows, the album is being featured this month, of course.
The album finally came out. The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons. May he rest in peace. Do you know the lore around Randy Fitzsimmons? Did I tell you about him before?
I vaguely. Go on, tell me. He's like their manager, is it?
So... yeah, so Randy Fitzsimmons is a guy who put the Hives together to form the greatest band in the world. And he was their songwriter and manager and sixth member of the band, the brains of the operation. And then he died and the Hives didn't make any more music. But they decided to, what's the word? Exhume his corpse.
Right,
and
yeah.
So they dug up his grave, and when they opened the coffin, all that was here was this album. So they had to record it and put it out. So still a big question mark around the death of Randy Fitzsimmons. Is Great. He dead?
Yeah, we
probably
never know. He's like Elvis.
But yeah. So he's probably wandering somewhere in the netherworld putting together more bands. So that's the story around the death of Randy Fitzsimmons. I've just had so much fun this year with the return of the Hives. Like, I've really, really just enjoyed their return. Whoever's running their TikTok account is doing a fantastic job. It's clearly some Gen Z-er who's on tour with them and putting together these little TikTok bits. And I've watched so many of their live shows that they've done on TikTok, or there's a few of them that have been uploaded onto YouTube. And they are I know I'm being hyperbolic by saying they're the best band in the world, blah, 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 blah. But they're probably the best live band in the world. But I think they've been kind of called that for a really, really long time. They are certainly the most fun live band in the world. I can't wait to see them in March in the Olympia. I just like that they haven't grown up. They were asked, I think, by Rolling Stone magazine, about like their songs all sounding the same or the fact that they've never grown up. And Pele responded, sharks have been the same for billions of years and they still rule. You have no need for development if you're a shark. You don't evolve since nothing kills you. Just like, I just love that, like, that pure like petulance that like belongs in rock and roll. It's like very, very like important to rock and roll. And they've talked about the idea that like to be a rock star, which like he fully like there's moments in his in some of his shows where he'll just go, everybody point at the rock star, and then everyone has to point at him, and it's just great. But like to be a rock star, you have to be a teenager forever. And I like that. I really like that. And I don't know what it is about this band that's just kind of like, I do really feel like they've come back to save rock music and remind us that it's supposed to be fun. Yeah. And while I love the Arctic Monkeys and while I love Blur and while I love like a lot of, you know, rock bands who have like mellowed somewhat and have become, you know, the grown up versions of their past selves, I do think it's very important for some bands, especially bands like The Hives, to just stay teenagers forever and stay cool and petulant and super cheesy. And yeah, and I love this record. It got like mostly good reviews. I think it got like a 6.9 on Pitchfork, and I was like, no, you don't get it. But it's a really, really, really fun record.
It's not supposed to change the world. It's just supposed to change rock and roll as we know it. That's all.
Rock and roll as we know it.
No big deal.
And not even just change it. Just remind us of what it's about. And what it's about is just being stupid and jumping about. And having a fun time and not taking things too seriously.
who could complain?
Nobody should be complaining once you're listening to The Hives. So yeah, the other track I chose from it, because I didn't want to choose Bogus Operandi again, but I'll be talking about that at the end of the year, don't worry. But The Way the Story Goes is another great one.
It's The Hives and The Way the Story Goes, and a great band.
A great band. Very so fun. Great album. So much fun. And I mean, I know I'm going on about how much fun they are, but like the playing on the album is great. Like the drums across the album are just like insanely good. Like they're doing so much more than they need to. And I think that that's been a staple of this band since the beginning. Like, This album has no right being like as good as it is and also being as fun as it is. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like, it's really great playing, great vocals, great lyrics that are mostly funny, but like often very wry and very of the moment, like a lot of kind of like anti-capitalist stuff in there as well, but that it's also like funny. Yeah, just great album. Death of Randy Fitzsimmons. Listen to it, please, for the love of God.
Great. All right. My final regular choice is a track from two Dublin artists called Walshy and Courtesy. And this is from an album that actually came out today It is called Good in the Cellar.
Once I get the head, I'm out. I can never weather. Pushing past heavy clouds, fuckers with this weather. Boys are always rain. When will it be better? I'll tell you what the pain brings. That shit made me clever. Different day, same thing, rolling up the relic. Hopeful that I'll get a grip, knowing I could let it slip at any given second. Took some measure, so I better win. I'm a veteran. Yeah, tell me who you're better. This is, I'm trying to get this header in. Meanwhile, she in the cellar, kid.
The wheels slightly right.
Bow, 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 bow.
It was fine
feel the breeze on a summer's eve. I see the leaves all torn and green. I'm in another league, and I took the lead. Running at 100 speed. Only a month ago was crushed, man, I couldn't breathe. Peace, tea, sipping. Wish I'd never seen the brother live. May you rest in peace. I was destined to speak on beast. Turn the heat on, please. I can make a room freeze. I'm the coldest. Weird soul, they were quick as every single show that I'm goated. As the throw, hello, can you go? How long can I rap whole life? No cap, no wave, no ass, no time. After rap, don't try it. How tight you if you do, that's a rap. If you move like a rat from the sewers, get back to your habitat. It's no room for your trap, it's no rules in the trap. I was moving the packs with lesson I was smoking, it was too bad.
That is courtesy there, rapping over a Walshy production. That is from an album that came out today called Few Beers. Just Few Beers. Courtesy is one of those guys that you kind of have to pay attention to when he's pops up on a track, because he's got that kind of laid back style that works along a load of different kind of productions, and he's really, really good and seems to be just working on his craft all the time, and he seems to suit a lot of things. He's collaborated with a lot of people, whether it be the likes of Typebeater, Rory Sweeney, Kojak and Ahmed with Love, Killian, and even, what was it last week, Dump as well, Ryan Dwyer on that track as well. So he's got loads of tracks, and he's constantly popping up. I think he has a full length himself soon. And Walshy then is a Dublin artist who is part of Sleepover Club. The debut album is kind of, he describes, a tripped out tapestry. It is called Few Beers. It's got a kind of a bit of beat production kind of stuff, bedroom indie pop, synths, and kind of fun, maybe dream pop electronic kind of stuff, but very nice and very easy. Lots of nice hooks and song bits, and I think it's really, really lovely. Nice thing to listen to. Walshy is the name of that. He was in a formerly of a duo called Caleb and Walshy. So yeah, and there's loads of other people on that album, like Low Kick, Dom Taylor, Pedro the Slot, Super Ego, and Caleb as well. They're all Irish and Dublin rappers as well, so it's a good kind of anything that Courtesy is involved with and Walshy is involved with. There's a lot of people around in that scene who are doing things, so it's interesting to see what they're doing. And yeah, I love this. So that is Walshy and Courtesy.
Golden Oldies time. Yeah.
It is Golden Oldies time.
Golden Oldies time.
We need a better name than Golden Oldies.
I like Golden Oldies, Niall.
You do.
So I went to see the Walkman this month.
You did? You went to a gig?
I went to a gig, finally. I was supposed to go to two, but I ended up not going to Boy Genius because I wasn't feeling well. But I did go to the Walkman. They were amazing. First time seeing the Walkman, second time seeing Hamilton Lighthouser. Last time he played... God, was it like 2017, something like that, in the Workman's for his album with Rostam, I Had a Dream That You Were Mine. And it was amazing. And it was great to see them in Vicar Street. His voice, man, like he's just so good. And he's doing it every night. Like, I don't know how he manages to sing like that every night. But anyway, I'm tying it in with my golden oldie this month, which is Angela Surf City from Lisbon by the Walkman, just because I think it was the song on the night that I was most like, just like, God, they're good.
We'll be right back.
wearing my Waffle t-shirt.
Ew.
That I bought at the show. Yeah, so great. So, yeah, great,
what was
great,
the vibe?
Great
show. What was the vibe of the whole show?
It was lovely. It was like, it was mostly men in their like late 30s, early 40s. And there was a particular group of men who were standing near me, me and Harry and Craig, who went together, who were just like living the good old days together. And I was kind of watching them as much as I was watching the band. And if you were one of those guys, I saw you and I loved you. If you were standing like middle, slightly to the left, back a little bit, you were awesome. But the vibe was great. Everyone was really, really excited. Like, they hadn't played here in over a decade. The band came out, they played the first couple of songs. They played The Rat as the third song, which I thought was like a really cool choice, because otherwise we'd all just be waiting, like, when are they going to play The Rat? Yeah, Hamilton Lighthouser was saying like, oh, when we decided to get back together and go on the road again, we didn't know if anyone would remember us or like would be bothered coming to see us. And we were like, we love you. So they seemed like genuinely surprised that there was like a lot of
a lot of
fans
sure.
coming out to see them, which is really sweet. Like, I think genuinely, like, I mean, the last time he played here in his own, he played in the Workman's, and he said it at the show. He was like, oh, I thought we were going to be playing down
the Workman's.
He said like down by the river, you know, and he was like, what's that place called? We're like, the Workman's. And there was, yeah, it was a really funny moment where he was like, yeah, we were in Leeds yesterday. Do you guys know Leeds? And we were like, yeah. And he was like, it's a really nice place. Like, and he was like naming all these nice things that he did. And we were all just like, what's he on about? And he was like, like Leeds, you know the town I'm talking about. Like, I just didn't think it'd be that nice. It was just really funny. Like, but I think whenever stuff like that happens, the crowd is a little bit afraid that he's going to think that we're also in the UK.
Did you not notice across the large body of water?
Yeah.
There?
So there was a bit of like a, but I think what he was actually doing was like, oh, I was in this like English city that is known for being a bit shit or something, and it was actually surprisingly nice or something. I don't know, but it was sweet anyway. It was cute. And yeah, the vibe was great. Band seemed to be having a great time. Like, Hamilton Lighthouser just giving it his all, just lengthening notes that are already like so impressive when he sings them on the album, that when he's singing them live, you're like, oh, he's outperforming himself on the album. Like, he's only gotten better with age. Yeah, it was a great show. It was really, really good. I loved it.
Great. Great. That is your golden oldie choice, the Walkman.
My golden oldie, I know.
There was a lot of people who listened to this podcast, I'm sure, who were at the recent Walkman shows. I was not. My choice is not really a golden oldie. It's actually quite new. I'm sorry. But I just thought, because as I said, been doing a lot of DJing, it's the end of the summer. A song that I missed when it first came out in February, which I heard recently, and I was like, well, I went when I was at ATN altogether now, I saw a bit of this guy and I was like, that's a nice song. Didn't know that before. Heard it again last week and I was like, that's a really good song. The artist is Barry Can't Swim. He's quite popular at the moment, so little old me is quite behind in terms of his popularity. Song is called Sun Sleeper and it's a lovely end of summer vibe. I'm gonna play a bit of it now. That's Sun Sleeper from Barry Can't Swim. Yeah, a tune I really like, and it's very popular. It's actually out on Ninja Tune in October on the album When Will We Land. And Barry Can't Swim's real name is not Barry. It is, his real name is Joshua Manny. So there you go. He is from Edinburgh and London based. Barry Can't Swim, he plays here a lot. He's playing here in November actually as well. So I think it's the Button Factory. So yeah, another shout for that. Okay, that's all of our new music tracks, but we also every month usually talk about the films and books and TV and shows and live shows and stuff we've done and seen and consumed. So what's consuming you this month?
Yeah, I've only been to the one gig, I'm afraid, the Walkman, but why don't you tell me about Boy Genius?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Boy Genius on a Monday night in Kilmainham. Boy Genius and Muna, I really enjoyed the gig. It was one of the most respectful vibes I've ever been at in terms of gigs. Nice. Obviously, Boy Genius, Lucy Dacus, Julian Baker and Phoebe Bridgers. A really good album from earlier this year. Big production in Kilmainham. Always supported lately by Muna, who are... maybe stole the show a little bit. Only because Muna are a really big, cool, fun live pop band who release bangers like Silk Chiffon and they were just a lot of fun. Just a very few bands like that who reach that level. So I really enjoyed that. They were a support band. But I have to say, the sound for this gig was absolutely impeccable. And like I haven't heard sound this good. It was perhaps too good because people from Fairview could apparently hear it on Glasnevin. So that's a worry. I know it was just like, oh, like, this is really lovely. Monday night. So really different kind of experience. I live nearby to the venue, and so we were able to pop down. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I would say that the Boy Genius set list for me. I did struggle in the middle because a lot of the songs are quite slow. Mm. They played a couple, they all took a solo song each as well. So it just kind of, it was very downbeat in the middle, but it was also definitely, I have to say, I was so impressed by the respectfulness, the quiet. It was like, wow, this is like being at Whelan's, but it's outdoors in Kilmainham. And also it's been remarked on since, but in the Discord as well, especially people saying that, you know, the younger generation of people, what was interesting as well about going to this was seeing the people that really liked Boy Genius and the young, like people who were like, yeah, I'm mad into this. And like,
so did just, the under 18s get in? Or
I think there was definitely some. Yeah, the gig was 18s plus.
Which I think officially is a huge mistake.
Yeah. It was really full in the end, I think. Mostly full. Really good band. Really good production. They did a cute thing where they... before me and my dog asked for everybody in the audience to hold up pictures of their dogs, and they just
saw that the camera went by someone who held up a picture of their cat, and people booed the cat.
I was like, if we were closer I would have done it, but
funny.
absolutely very funny, but really, really nice vibe. Yeah, like I said, I don't know if it can sustain for me. I don't love Boy Genius. I like Boy Genius and I like the album a lot, but I don't like them so much that I will devour 100 minutes of them without my mind wandering a little bit.
Sure.
Certainly in a big outdoor space, even though the sound was great and all that stuff. But yeah, younger fans, people up the front, there was a lot of, they stopped the show twice to attend to fans in the audience, which is something they apparently have been doing and being very aware of it. And I think I saw even they played with Billie Eilish last night in London, and she was doing the same thing as well. So just good to see a lot of people looking out for their fans, which, you know, is becoming increasingly more common than it used to be. People stopping shows and making sure everyone's okay in the middle of songs, and just like making sure it doesn't matter where they're at. So that was really good. I enjoyed the vibe of it. My other major live experience we obviously did an entire podcast about All Together Now, Another Love Story, my favorite little small festival, happened again 2 weeks ago now. It was one of those festivals that didn't manage to escape the weather gods or the weather ire. It was, the Friday was very rainy, and I didn't actually go on the Friday because I was just like, after 2 weeks after doing Another Love Story, I was like, I can't do it all again
in the same fashion. Weather warning.
Yeah, and Luma was down on the Saturday afternoon. He was like, well, I'll just go down fresh and we'll play and it'll be nice. And it was lovely. It was lovely. But it is one of my favorite festivals. It's just so nice. Everything about it. Everyone is so lovely. The music is all so well curated. Great DJs as well. Like, it's just so lovely. I saw Kino Quivon playing on Saturday night. I didn't... What else did I see? RSAG, hadn't seen him in a long time. The likes of Sofia Cortezes. There was a lot of DJ vibe for sure there, which I really liked. There was some great stuff during the day. Sunday's always a lovely vibe at ALS because it's quiet. It's family friendly. It finishes at 6:30. So the kind of ultimate, the ending set was Martin Hayes, who did a lovely, gorgeous, sunny set as well. I saw that was a lovely way to finish things. I saw some live music from Trofadine, who are really good. The kind of improv, I think they're Cork and Kerry band, maybe. New Jackson live, Music for 18 Machines, Simon Cullen. His project, which has been announced for Culture Night in National Concert Hall. That's on again. Saw our pal God Knows down there and gave him a couple of Another Nine t-shirts. He mentioned recently, he was like, oh man, those t-shirts are the best. And so I hooked him up again. Somebody took it from him before, I think. So yeah, I saw the band Moondiver. DJ wise, there was Charlie Bones, who's on NTS. Kina Quivon did a brilliant set. There was loads I missed, but there was loads I saw as well. So Lumo had a fun afternoon in one of the tents as well. So it was just great. It was really, really lovely. I think it's just one of my favorite things to see. And it was nice as well. So it kind of really feels like I'm playing Electric Picnic this weekend and I'm playing Castle Bacardi and that'll be fun, but I'm not staying down. So it was my last kind of big hurrah in terms of staying down. And also personally for me, I mean, it might be my last festival for a while because myself and my partner are expecting and she came down for Another Love Story on the Sunday and it was just really nice. Yeah. So she's due in November. So it was nice to be able to bring her to a nice festival and then she'd never been to Another Love Story before. So it's just really nice to be able to have her there as well. And the good thing about everything finishing in 6:30 on a Sunday is because essentially you're not missing anything because a lot of families, a lot of kids around and that's lovely. And when if things finish at a certain time, it's not like, oh, well, I have to go or we're missing out and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just one of those things, a really lovely, lovely, lovely festival. Always such attention to detail. They did an amazing job in terms of putting down straw across the site across the weekend after Friday. Like there was the Friday night around the country, there was trees falling all over roads and stuff. And there were people camped out and
I was at a wedding that day, like quite nearby to my house. And we, obviously the wedding was moved inside, but when we were getting the taxi home at like 1:30 in the morning, it was like fucking trees and like the car was blowing. It was crazy. Yeah. And I was thinking of you all down at the festival.
Well, that was it. Like, I woke up at the Friday morning. I woke up at 8 a.m. and looked outside and it was raining sideways and it didn't stop. And I was just like, I just can't do it again. And then, but I was so impressed when I got there. Like they really did. The management, the organization was really good. They had huge straw bales for the entire site, all ready to go and still some left on the Sunday as well. So it was like they had more than enough and they addressed it and they actually shut down the main arena for an extra hour. So we did lose a bit of time, but like, it doesn't really matter. Cause like ultimately better to make sure that the site is safe and secure than just allow people to run all over it. So I thought it was really great. That's Another Love Story. I say it every year. It's my favorite festival. It's got the best vibe. It's, you know, one of the lovely things about it is because not comparing it to a big festival, but it is one of the nice things about it. Mm. At big festivals, you end up traipsing around places to go between stages and stuff like that. Another Love Story's site is quite small. There's like a big field which houses 3 or 4 like tents to play music at any one time. There's a little forest to the side. And then through another forest, there's a nice area, wooded area. And then kind of where installations are and talks and stuff, and Siobhan from Young Hearts Run Free puts on stuff there, and it's just got that lovely small vibe. So you actually spend more time talking to people you like, than running around going, oh, I have to go see this band. Oh, yeah. No, let's go. And then, oh, no. Like, everything is very close. And it's just such a pleasure. Even the campsites as well. Like, the campsite, really, really lovely. And even security, all very good. Everything operating in a way that you want to be treated. And, yeah, my favorite little festival. That's another love story. Yeah.
Great. I don't think I have anything to report other than music this month. I started Eliza Clark's Penance, which is a really big book this year. I'll be reviewing it soon. It's quite long. I'm enjoying it so far. I'll have an update on that maybe the end of next month. Also started Mort, Terry Pratchett book, fourth Discworld book, the first of the death. I still don't quite understand how the Discworld stuff works, but Alan from Juvenalia told me to start with Mort, and I have been on audiobook, and Claire, Fleabag's sister from Fleabag, reads it and is very, very good. And Peter Serafinowicz is the voice of death in it, which is really good as well. So I'm enjoying that. Other than that, we've been watching Married at First Sight season 5 from like 2018.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know. I Googled when is the next season of Married at First Sight, and it was like spring 2024. And I was like, no. Okay, we're going to have to go back and find another season because I can't do this. Really enjoying it. If anyone's watched it, you know, I'm just going to say I'm Team Troy to the end. But yeah, we're nearly finished that. And we'll be coming into like good TV season soon, which is nice. Oh, also started watching, what are they called? Trixie Mattel and Katya, two drag queens who were on RuPaul's Drag Race. They have a YouTube series where they watch Netflix releases. It's like in partnership with Netflix. That's all on YouTube. And they're really, really fun. And I've been watching them and kind of like slowly dipping my toe into, because I've never really watched Drag Race, dipping my toe into watching some of the queens online. And I'm starting to find other ones around who I like as well. But I really recommend Trixie and Katya's YouTube series. They're like very fun, filthy, like don't watch it with your kids, filthy content. Great stuff though. Really good, really good.
Great. Lovely. I read The Happy Couple by Neisha Dolan. Really enjoyed that.
Oh, yes. You got along well with that, did you?
I did, yeah. Just really found good. It was a really easy read, and I wasn't sure where it was going, and it surprised me a couple of times, so I was impressed with that. I think it was a better book than the first one, which I kind of struggled with a little bit, but I wanted to like, so I thought this was nice. This was a nice way. I thought it was really well written. That was Happy Couple, Neisha Dolan. Haven't been watching much other than The Return of Football, but I'd say the one film that has stuck with me, which I've been meaning to see.
The Return of Men's Football. No. Football's been going on.
I've actually been
summer.
Watching both. I've been watching both. Is The Square, the Ruben Östlund film from 2017. Mm-hmm. I had seen Triangle of Sadness last year, but or earlier this year, whatever it was. But I hadn't seen The Square, and I had it on my like a long list for a long time. And I finally got around to watching it, and whoa, do people hate this film or love this film, depending on your view. I am the view of, I loved it. I thought it was great. It sticks with you more than films that actually say more, but I do think it's the vibe of it. It's like a series of short films almost about this Stockholm curator of a museum and a controversial new exhibit. And the backstory of somebody robbing his wallet and all the true line of all of that. I think it has a lot to say about empathy and class and how we move through the world. I just found it really interesting. I thought it was quite nuanced in its own way. And and it's Klaus Bang, who is the bad dad in Bad Sisters. I hadn't seen him in anything else actually, so I really enjoyed that.
I've been wanting to watch that for a while and I'm gonna bump it up on my list.
It was like, I can understand why people are like mad at it, because it's one of those films that if you're like, well, nothing happens, you know what I mean, like, but loads happens, you know.
Oh, I
like
love films where nothing
really
happens.
Really loads happens. I was really into that.
Speaking of films, actually. So there's like a few like TikTok accounts that will just like upload scenes from films, right?
I saw you talking about this, yeah.
Yeah, so one of them just like caught me on the right day and they showed the opening scene from Midsommar and I watched it. I'd seen Midsommar before, but I really like the opening scenes of Midsommar, so I watched it. And because the algorithm is what it is, every time that account uploaded a new video, it would give it to me in my For You page. So I ended up, like me and about 8,000 other people, every day watching like three scenes from Midsommar. And then waiting for the next day for it to upload, for it to update again and see the next three scenes. So
that's
over the space of maybe
way
like
to experience it.
It was genuinely so weird. And over the space of like 2.5 weeks, I'd just watch it in these like little clips every day and go into the comments, see the same people in the comments, but loads of people just being like, who is the girl? Or like, what happens? I haven't seen the film. And just people who like haven't wow, okay. like not only seen this film, but like a film in their lives.
Yeah.
And when it got to the end, it was like all the comments were like, it's been so great, guys. It's been such an emotional journey. Thanks so much for like everybody watching this together. And it was just such, it was genuinely so weird, but a really enjoyable experience. So I'll shout that out as something fun I did this month was, watch Midsommar drip fed to me via TikTok with 8,000 other people.
Yeah. And it also so that's such a weird way to watch film.
So weird. So weird. And because of the TikTok guidelines, it would blur any of the really like gruesome stuff in that film, which I kind of appreciated. I was like, oh yeah, I can watch the scene now without like turning my head away because I'm not so good with the scene with the people on the cliff and stuff. I don't know if I've ever actually watched that scene like without like turning my head, so it was nice to just like see it with the gory bits like blurred out or whatever. But yeah, shout out to all my pals in the comments of those videos.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah. You want to talk about the thing?
Sure, why not. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Roisin Murphy's
Not
Thing.
Not an podcast.
Yeah. Roisin Murphy. As you are probably aware, Roisin Murphy. Last week, a screenshot of a Facebook comment that Roisin Murphy shared on her private account on Facebook, responding to something about Graham Lenehan, which is already bad enough. Had a lot of people concerned about what she was saying. Now, I'm not going to recount the whole thing here because you can go and read my article about it and my thoughts
and
on
I
it
would,
already.
And I would recommend people read Niall's article about it. I think it's really, really good piece and very
Thanks.
Balanced.
Too Long well. Didn't Read is basically that I think a lot of people are very disappointed with her response to being mm-hmm. to that being shared publicly. She doesn't address anything about her thought process about or her feelings or her opinions about what she holds about trans kids, as she talks
puberty
about,
blockers
and puberty blockers. Look, my thing is, I think I've learned a lot in the last couple of years about, you know, shouting on the internet or reacting to things on the internet. And I think mm-hmm. there's ways of doing it and there's ways not doing it. I try and do it now. I respond to something about like this in a respectful manner and but also being truthful about as much as I can about what I see. So I think, yeah, there's definitely some anti-trans sentiments in that mm-hmm. in her original post, but also, you know, I was trying to say, like, I got a lot of alt-right kind of people in my comments, in my mentions, who are currently still attacking me and responding. Like, obviously I'm not responding to any of it, but like,
yeah,
it is what it is. You try and write something, it just shows you that, like, you try and say something measured, and but people don't pay attention to that. The kind of people who go in on this stuff are repeating the same talking points. I'm not trying to shut Roisin Murphy up. I'm not trying to cancel her. I'm not trying to say that Roisin Murphy is a bad person. And I'm not trying to say I'm not trying to dictate anything. And I keep getting these mansplaining misogynist, religious fundamentalist. It's like, okay, like I think we should just approach trans kids and people who are dealing with their own issues, no matter what they are, with empathy and not dictate to them, same as we've done in the past with abortion and with gay rights. Let people do what they want to do and don't interfere with somebody else's decisions about their lives and what they want to do, and let them understand where they're coming from and what they want to do, and don't dictate. And that's like, that to me is what the worst part of what we've had in the past about like religion in Ireland. And so, you know, we're doing that to ourselves, but it's becoming this whole like, oh, all you woke liberals don't even think for yourselves, and like you're peddling whatever you want, like you're peddling lies at the expense of you know, big pharma or whatever it is that like Rosie mm-hmm. Murphy was talking about, and using the word, throwing the word turf around and all that kind of stuff. It's just like, none of this is helpful to anyone. All I was trying to do was say why I felt people were disappointed by her, because by the response she gave, because ultimately Roisin Murphy identifies largely with the LGBTQIA plus community, and has always courted, she makes disco music, it comes from that world, it comes from mm-hmm. these people. You cannot respond to something that you shared in your private profile and then only talk about the reaction to it. It's like, I'm sorry that you're mad. She didn't talk about the she didn't address the fundamental issues that people had a problem with, and I think that's why people were not angry, we're just disappointed, and that's what it boils down to. So I think the Roisin Murphy stuff is just, it's upsetting, because like, I love her as an artist, and that is why I wrote that piece, because I'm disappointed that it's come to this again. Somebody that whose work I've respected for since, you know, 20-25 years or something, is now saying things that they just feel like they're coming from a place of conspiracy. It's repeating talking points that are often used on the alt-right, and that's my problem with it. That's like, I just think she's talking about little mixed up kids, and I'm like, look, we all have to learn about the world and communities and minorities and marginalized people in the last 20 years, and we will continue to do so. The best way to do that is approach it with empathy and not be the person who's shouting about big pharma and throwing around terms like turf. Like, this is the problem with online discourse, obviously. Look, you know this, like, you can't cancel somebody. I'm not trying to do that. It's about just the nuance of conversation that we can have here as two people chatting is not something you can have with millions of people all at once about a single thing. So my piece was not trying to cancel anyone or say anything to anyone or dictate how anyone else should feel. I'm just saying, this is what happened. This is why I think it was disappointing as a fan of hers. And also, this is what I saw was she, I wish she could have addressed this. I just, you know, because I hope that she still maybe does, but really bad album promo. She's got an album next week, and you're just like, oh lads, I was so looking forward to hearing it. And we talked about this before, but in terms of cancel culture, like, or like separating the art from the artist, it depends on the degrees. It's not saying like, oh, you'll never listen to her ever again. It's a case of, look, right now I feel very queasy about what she's, the way that she's addressed this, and that's going to like make me feel weird about how she, about listening to her music and all that stuff. Yes, there is a rush for people to react to things and to say things that aren't said with love or empathy and or in a way that is tries to understand. I think this is the problem we have in modern life, when like you're like, people just, it ends up being the loudest voices are the angriest voices and the most divisive ones. And I'm not trying to be one of those. I'm not trying to say to anyone, do you know, you need to stop. You need to, I'm just trying to say, just look at, like, just try and learn. Listen, if that's what Roisin Murphy feels about trans kids, then so be it. You know, I'm not going to tell her how to think about things, but, you know, I might be disappointed because of, as all of the things I've discussed there, because of where she comes from and the fact that she is welcomed into these communities. Like, I think about a festival like Homo Block where she might have played, you know, and you're just like, that is just in terms of strides, in terms of welcome spaces, safe spaces, there's been a lot of talk in the last number of years about creating those safe spaces. When you tell people how to behave in their own lives, then you kind of start to break that down. And if you're welcomed into those spaces, then it's hard then to see you see that a person like that operate in that space. And I just think that's just a bit, again, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. I agree with you, like, essentially on, like, obviously everything you said there and everything you said in the piece. And I think it is disappointing. I think it's especially disappointing because there didn't seem to be much basis for her to say what she said. I wonder where she got the information from about puberty blockers. Like, I've looked into puberty blockers a lot because I've had to have conversations with people in my life who are not you know, gender critical feminists, but are a little bit older, maybe don't understand so much, and need the kind of the time being spent with them, right? And so for that, I've had to do a lot of research around, you know, gender affirming surgeries and puberty blockers, and, you know, the correlation between, like, rates of suicide in young people going in trans young people going down as puberty blockers go up. Like, these are, like, real empirical things that we can find in data. And what I find so disappointing and just utterly maddening about a lot of the people that are in your mentions and a lot of the people that you see spouting ideas online is that they'll tell you to do your research. And I've done the research. I've looked at it, you know. I have access to these papers. I've read them. And
yeah,
my decision based on what I've looked at is that denying healthcare to trans children is a bad thing. That's a net negative for everybody in society. And the idea that you, for writing that article, writing that piece, are somehow speaking over women or trying to silence women, I think is absolutely ridiculous. Because, hey, if any of you guys are listening, I'm here, I'm a woman, I'm a cis woman, like, I'm saying all the same stuff that Niall is. So, like, what am I also silencing women? Like, who's really being silenced here?
Oh, you're brainwashed. That's what it is. You're brainwashed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm brainwashed, and, like, I don't know, I'm getting paid by Soros or some shit. But, like, it's just, I think yes, you absolutely have to approach things with empathy, but you also have to approach things with just, like, reason. Like, it's not just this, like, woke left, let's include everybody because, you know, like, it's actual reason and actual science. And I think that gets lost in a lot of, like, these conversations online. And what I'll say to anybody who is thinking about posting anything on the site formerly known as Twitter about anything like this is just to, like, just mind yourself going on there. It is, like, it's not only full of people who want to hurt you by saying, like, incredibly hurtful things to you, and they will find very incredibly hurtful things to say to you, but it's also that website makes it easy. That website is designed so that those people will find you. So I just say that to anybody who is, like, thinking about, you know, getting involved online with anything like this, is just to be careful.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've experienced it this week. I've experienced it in the past. It's horrible. It's really, really horrible. I'm sorry it's happening to you this week. And
no, I'm fine. I knew by writing that I was welcoming that. It does a little bit make you reticent to be like, oh, well, do I want to do this? And then, you know, that's what Roisin Murphy was saying. But my point is, to contribute an opinion isn't necessarily to campaign something or say
exactly
anything either way. It's like, that's what she said. It's a cop out to say having a discussion about something is getting involved in a campaign. No, you're now being used in people
campaign.
Who campaign for, against,
because that's what they'll do. They'll see that there is criticisms of her opinion or her stance or her argument, and they will love bomb her. The same thing happened to JK Rowling. They will love bomb her, and they will try to welcome her into a community of quote unquote feminists. who are just asking questions and who are just trying to protect children, and, you know, what weaponizing like extremely emotive language and ideas in order to exclude people from spaces, from existing, because that's the end point of it all, is that these people do not want trans people to exist. It starts at puberty blockers, and then it's, you know, social transition, and then it's, you know, it's locker rooms, and it's women's spaces, it's women's prisons. Like, there is no end to this cycle that doesn't end up with the eradication of trans people, and that is extremely dangerous. And I think that if people are going to be uninformed and start talking about how puberty blockers are fucked online, they should know, or somebody should sit them down and tell them that this is a fascist talking point. And just to say, like, empirically to all our listeners, we here at the 909 podcast, we love our trans pals, we love our trans listeners, we support you all. Like, this is a space for you.
Yeah.
Like, there's no two ways about that. And it's just, oh God, it's just disappointing, isn't it? It's just so.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I was thinking about a lot about this recently, and I was like, you know, I things that we need to teach people from an early age, media literacy now, because people don't understand. For example, I got an email at the Boy Genius gig from somebody who thought I was putting on the gig because I had written something about the gig. That has happened more than once in the past, where people are like, given out to me about something I didn't do because I wrote a news item about it. It's not the same. Like, understanding what that is. And it's the same with this kind of stuff. It's like understanding what is happening when people are discussing and talking about things online, identifying agendas and conspiracies and rhetoric, which is often, you can't argue with rhetoric because it's just something that people have decided. You can't have a reasonable conversation with that. You can't reason with it. You can't reason with, you know, there's a conspiracy about everything. You know, you can't reason with that. It's very hard to do that. So like I said, it is hard to move through that. If you're a trans person, that I'm sorry that you have to deal with this on a daily basis, because Roisin Murphy can decide to pop out and say, I actually don't want to talk about this anymore. But if you're a trans person, you are living that all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you don't get the luxury of just saying, oh, I don't want to be part of this conversation. It's not a conversation. It's a targeted campaign against a minority group. Like, that's what it is. I think we need to stop using the word conversation around this. Like, I think it's really unhelpful. It's harassment.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Ultimately, you know, for me, the part of the disappointment is Roisin Murphy decides not to show some allyship with the trans community, because that would be a nicer thing to do, and to understand and come from a place, like she says, oh, I'm coming from a place of love. Come from a place of love.
What does that mean?
Again, we don't know the rest about the screenshot. It was a screenshot out of context. That was the problem with the whole thing in the first place. That's why last week when it came out, I didn't talk about it or address it. I'm like, I saw it, and I'm like, I'm not going near that because I can't see the original conversation. But then she addressed it. So you're like, okay, well, she's not disputing that she that was taken out of context or anything like that. But she does talk about, I think it's just the words that she used. She's fixed views, out of love for all, or whatever it is. But she's just like, it's just kind of repeating things that she's seen on the internet. And I think that is where those things are out of love for all of us. Yeah, fine. You can say that. But also, I would love some clarification. It was definitely an opportunity for her.
And is that
to
all
say,
of us, Roisin? Is it all of us? Like, or is it the people who have aligning views with you, you know? My hope is that Roisin Murphy, she might be at the beginning of, you know, a funnel that happens on the internet when you come across stuff like this, and that you get sent down, you know, this rabbit hole that is really, really dangerous. I really, really, really hope that there is somebody in her life who is talking to her right now and putting in time. And, you know, if it feels as though she can be brought back from the edge on this, I really hope that there's somebody who is helping her do that. Because I think it's important for people to do that, especially cis allies. And it's not an easy thing to do, and not everyone can be brought back. But I really do hope that there's somebody talking to her right now. And if she does come out with another statement and say, look, I was wrong, it's not up to me how trans people feel about that. But I would see that as a very, very positive thing, to see somebody publicly come back from, you know, transphobic rhetoric and say, oh, I was wrong about this. It was misinformation. I was misinformed, whatever it might be. That would be great. It would be really nice if we could move into a stage in this whole horrible, you know, wave of harassment that's happening right now, where we can actually bring people back. And it's,
yeah, look, the first, I said in the piece, the first stage of a public thing like this is often defensiveness when somebody's criticized.
Yeah, for sure.
But you do have to move past that. And I think you'll try to, like, she had a number of days to kind of formulate a response that came from that actually addressed the issues, not just a reaction to it. She was more, it seemed like that whole thing came from her place of fear of what people thought of her, not of what she actually said. And that is, that is ultimately a problem. Anyway, I've done a lot of talking about this week. Unfortunately, it is what it is. But I think if you're the kind of person who finds yourself calling people names for their opinion, insulting how they look, saying very inflammatory things, telling other people to shut up, using whatever identity they have against them, then maybe take a long look at yourself and stop doing that, because what use are you doing? You're just making yourself feel bad
for an hour.
Anyway,
go for a walk, touch grass.
Anyway, that's it for now on all that Roisin Murphy stuff, for I would imagine Pity. It was a song I really want to hear next week that comes out on her album, and I'm just gonna have to leave it for a while. I'm not gonna be she's just occupied my brain space too much now. But anyway, that's it. And I guess that's it for almost this week, I think.
Sorry to leave it on a low note, guys, but you know.
Yeah, well, we had lots of great music, and I think this is important too. This is why I like doing the podcast, because it's a reasonable place in which to have a discussion with somebody, namely yourself, but also for you can understand nuance and intention of language and how people speak. Yeah. So just, I'm not angry, just disappointed. All right. Lots of great music there for you to discover if you like what Neither Nine does as a website and a podcast and a playlist curator, an event person, DJ, whatever it is, and appreciate Andrea's contributions to the podcast every week. You can support us directly with patreon.com/909. There is some reduced price tickets of the Indie Sleeves Night on Saturday, September 29th in the Workman Cellar. Lumo, I always give free tickets to Lumo every month, and we've got one coming up again. Next one is September 23rd. And DJ sets, and obviously the Discord, a cool little nice community of people who genuinely you see in real life now, and they're lovely, and it's great. If you want to involve yourself in a place where people are approach each other with soundness and empathy and not inflamed rhetoric, come join the Discord. It's great.
Come on down.
Okay, that's enough from us. Thanks, Andrea.
Thanks, Niall. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.